This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Tuna is, I don't see them on the list here. I'm just looking for one that gets me really, really excited.
I think if Tuna Tia gets Trey Smith back this year, they're going to be okay. But I still don't know if Keller Chris wins that quarterback job.
That is the voice of Cole Kublik. You know it well. He is part of Three Man Front with Aaron Suttles and Landrum Roberts that follows us. Also on the SEC Network and ESPN. How are you, Cole?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Can we ask you some weird questions today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we've been all over the place.
I mean, there's not a lot of football stuff going on, so.
Okay, so Texas Tech adds this guy that's almost 7 feet tall, 6'11", 355-pound offensive lineman, Trevor Robertson. Is there can there be too big for an offensive lineman
yes.
when we're talking about height?
Yeah, there are more. When you get that big, Lance, there are more disadvantages than advantages now. The advantages that you think of is, okay, wingspan, length. Yeah, when he gets his hands on you, he's going to be able to hold you away. He's going to be able to help himself out. However,
there's no leverage, right?
Leverage is where you lose often. And you guys see a lot of 6'11 guys that are 350 pounds that are flexible. I mean, is he going to be able to bend? Is he going to be able to move? You go back to Dan Skipper at Arkansas, and you know I've kind of gone on this rant a few times. You take Dan Skipper at Arkansas, you take Brandon at USC a few years ago, or Zach Banner at USC, and people get so enamored with how big these guys are. Look how big. Oh, they're so big. And they just think that means he's going to be good. And they're not. You're not good just because you're big. So this young man's going to have really, really, really good feet. He's going to have to be able to bend, be flexible, to be a good player. Louisiana Tech had a tackle, and I don't remember his name, who was 6'11". And we played them when they had like all the McCown brothers and they threw the ball all over the place. And he could actually move fairly well. Now, he never got a shot in the NFL. We played against a guy at Russellville High School when I was at Homewood who was 7'1". And he played offensive line. He couldn't move. You can imagine, in high school, you just think, you're just in the way, which is great. In high school, it works. But in college, you get an elite speed rusher against that dude, and I promise you he's not worried about a guy being 6'11".
Okay, but you talk about this guy 6'11", 355, if he's got good feet.
If
you're
move.
6'11", 355, and you can move, why wouldn't you play in the NBA?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Man, that's a big body.
James Harden made, what, 28.5 this
yeah.
year? So the chances of that guy making 28.5 in an entire NFL career are pretty slim. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like basketball. Maybe he can't hold on to the ball. I'm not really sure, but it seems like that would make more sense.
Because you're right with Skipper. Anytime he faced an elite pass rusher, that first step, I mean, throw him.
Listen, Dan was a hard-nosed player.
No, he's a good player.
He started a lot of games. You give him credit for that. But maybe the most overrated SEC football player of my lifetime.
It's a big statement.
That was a little harsh. I'm
that
sorry.
That was a big statement.
I'm trying to emphasize the
maybe
point
in there.
That he wasn't.
Yeah, you did say maybe.
You know, when he was on a lot of preseason and postseason all SEC teams, I can just I remember being really frustrated after watching the film. It just wasn't there. It just was not there.
We did this a minute ago. Sporting News had a list of teams that could upset a playoff team in September. I gave them to Lance. He came away with these two. I'm going to add one more because I'm going to see if you answer it any differently. So give me, on a scale of 1 to 10, what you see happening here. A 10 would be, this is a big-time upset possibility, 1, no chance. Iowa is hosting Wisconsin week 4.
Very good chance.
Yeah, Lance said like 6
eight.
Or 7. Okay,
no, I'll give like an 8 because Wisconsin's front 7 has been the strength of their team. Now, they got a really good group of linebackers coming back, but their front 7 has been depleted over early injuries the last few years. Now they've had two guys injured this offseason. Iowa's offensive line is going to be really good, and they're going to be committed to running the football. So they will try to outnumber Wisconsin in the box. Now the difference will be, I mean, Jonathan Taylor and company are going to be able to run the ball as well. And I actually think that Horningbrook's a little bit better quarterback than a lot of people give him credit for. He's fairly accurate on the move, does some things. Where is that game?
The game is in
Iowa City,
and that's what's interesting because Wisconsin has won 3 straight there by a total of 11 points. So
the last team to win 3 straight there, you think? I don't feel like that happens very
often. No, you're right. That is impressive.
But I did bring up the fact
that by a total of 11 points, so they struggle
to
do it.
They always pull off an upset, but it's never the predictable upset.
Yeah, to Iowa?
Yeah.
But I still think there's a very good shot there because I'm not quite as high on Wisconsin as a lot of folks are this year.
Utah hosts Washington week 3. Game, obviously, in Salt Lake City. It's a 9 o'clock Central ESPN kick.
Probably like a 7, but that's more on Washington than it is Utah.
That could kill Washington. I mean, if Washington loses to Auburn, they're probably out
and
of it
Utah,
anyway.
Yeah, they're done.
But you lose to Utah and Auburn.
I think they could lose to Auburn and still be in it. They would need a couple other teams on their schedule to have pretty good years. But I just don't see what the fascination is outside of Jake Browning and Myles Gaskin. Now, granted, those two are good for college football players, and you got a quarterback, you can make a lot of things happen, but they're not very good up front on the offensive line. Their defensive line's been depleted, not the same the last few years. I keep hearing about how athletic the secondary is. That's great, but against a team like Utah, that's not really going to matter because they're going to try to run the football. So that will be a game of physicality in which I think Utah has the advantage. So 6-7, I would say Utah could definitely pull that.
I'm really interested in your next one, though, where you go this, because I think this could really shake up the SEC, especially the East. But week two, South Carolina hosts Georgia.
I love this is the spot to get Georgia. This is exactly where you want them. Now, I kind of thought that this was going to be a night game. I thought that the Clemson at A&M would be 2:30, and then this would go to a night game, which I really thought would give South Carolina an advantage. So you look at sort of what is Georgia having to replace? Obviously, two edge rushers. You got Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter that are gone. Roquan Smith, obviously gone. But John Atkins in the middle of that defense is what they don't have. They don't have another John Atkins coming back. And if you talked to Kirby last year and you talked to Mel Tucker last year, they would tell you John Atkins is what allows us to do what we do on defense. The difference in this game will be the South Carolina defensive line, because they're going to be going up against, in my opinion, the best returning offensive line in the SEC and some pretty good tailbacks still, even though they lost two really good tailbacks. Throw in Isaac Nada as a really good tight end. I don't see the South Carolina defense being able to consistently stop the Georgia rushing attack. But this little bit of a more of an up-tempo offense that South Carolina is going to run, I think will benefit Jake Bentley greatly. And the skill guys are as good as anyone in the league. I mean, when you put their running backs and receivers and quarterback up against anybody else in the league, it's not much of a tick off than anybody else in the league. So South Carolina should be able to score. And if Georgia can't find a way to get to the quarterback, Zach Bailey goes down to guard. It's still not a great South Carolina offensive line. You don't have Hayden Hurst to help out with that group. But it's a very intriguing matchup that early in the season in Williams-Brice. I give it probably 5.5.
That is a tough place to play. I mean, if you as a fan have never been to Williams-Brice, I agree with Cole. A 6 o'clock kick at Williams-Brice would have a different feel than a 2:30 kick will. But that is a difficult place to play. I mean, that crowd, man, they can get into it, make some noise. And they're right on top of it.
Both teams going to be 1-0 right there.
Yep.
Both teams going to be in the top 25 right there. Georgia's going to be what? 4, 5?
Yeah, probably.
6, maybe at the worst. So, I mean, the Georgia secondary can cause some problems, but if they can't find a way to get to Jake Bentley, then that could be a very, very interesting
game. Okay, getting out there a little bit, we were talking about the Julio Jones situation earlier. Have you seen the footage of Terrell Owens running the 40? And Julio's on a stopwatch, somebody else is, and they've got him clocked at 4:43.
Yeah, I'm not buying that part of it, but
he's 44 years old. Just for the record, his combine was a 4:45.
And a Dreamland poll question: 56% say no way a 44-year-old can run a 4:43:40. 56% say
no way. I don't think it's possible, Cole.
He's not in the NFL testing regimen right now, correct?
Right,
that's correct.
Cool. Yeah. Just want to make sure of that.
Okay. So, but yeah, even that,
yeah,
man.
Even that at 44.
Listen, T.O.'s a freak, man. He is a physical specimen. Like, I could see him running a legit 4.5 right now, but sub 4.5, I doubt it. And by hand, you're always going to be, what, 0.5 or more off just on a hand time 40 anyway. So I think you could get really close to that, but sub 4.5, man, that's how many guys at the combine went sub 4.5 this past year?
I mean, a handful.
Yeah, not very many. And those are guys that are in their peak athletic prime.
So. Speaking of freakish, Brown showed me this earlier, and you talk about in the NFL testing right now. Have you seen Greg Norman at 63?
Oh, because he's going to be in the ESPN The Body issue?
Yep.
I haven't seen, no.
There's just random pictures out there. Look at this.
Is he on HGH?
Oh, yeah, you tell me.
Yeah, he's on some good
it's
stuff.
63.
He is on some good
stuff. That's what actors use.
I mean, he has cut up, man.
He found, like, the Balco of New Zealand somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good for him. I mean, hey, if you can get it, you can find it, good for you.
Yeah.
Listen, now here's the deal. Even if he is, it still takes a lot of work and a lot of discipline to look like that. That's impressive.
Yeah, you can't just take a pill and do it.
I'm not sold that that's not Photoshopped somehow.
Well, there's multiple photos. People send us multiple photos.
I mean, that's really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like Conor McGregor against Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
63-year-old. All right, and before you go, as we continue to bounce around, I tweeted this yesterday. ABC News has video. I don't know if you guys have seen this. A python hunter.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen these. You've seen the video?
I've seen the video of them cutting it open.
Oh, no, no, no. This
You're talking about just pulling the snake out of the Everglades?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he rescues a four-foot alligator.
That's my favorite term of the whole thing.
But he rescues a four-foot alligator. What if the alligator had attacked him? It's a 10-foot python that has wrapped himself around an alligator. He pulls them both out. Like, I mean, they're still, it's still wrapped. Gets the python to unwrap and releases the alligator.
Isn't that survival of the fittest? Let nature take its course?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like me taking a piece of steak out of your mouth.
I know.
Hey, stop!
I know. I do not know how this guy does this.
So there was I guess it's because this lady was found in a snake in Indonesia that all these snake videos got going yesterday. There's another one where a guy allegedly saves a snake from the jungle, and he's like walking it through the village. It's like a 15, 17-foot snake, and it starts wrapping around him. Mm. He's done. And it takes like four other people to save it. And
that's
four
his
or five other people.
How do you even get the snake off?
I guess when you got four or five other people pulling on it, you can
start killing it.
Loosen it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start stabbing it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to cut the tail or something. I don't know. But he gets this snake to unravel from the alligator. The alligator swims away. And I think he's part of, you know, down in the Everglades, they have these python bounties, basically. So I think he's probably getting a bounty on the python. But that's why he rescued the alligator.
I think we forget the python can bite, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's some big fangs.
Yep.
Well, this guy just drags him right out of the swamp and lets that alligator go, and then he's got him a bounty.
I think I'm just going to get my popcorn ready on that one. I'll sit back and watch the show. Snake versus Gator. Let's go.
Hard pass on me, man. No way am
I
doing that.
What are you placing the line on that, Lance? Mm. If you got
I think I would take the anaconda.
8-foot gator, 15-foot anaconda.
Yeah, I'd take the anaconda.
What are your odds?
He's probably a 3-to-1 favorite.
Ooh, that's a...
Because well, I don't know what the gator...
One bite by the gator and it's over. I mean,
but he's got to be able to get that bite. I just don't know where he gets it.
Could the gator not get him underwater? I guess the snake can probably stay under for a little while. Yeah, that's an interesting fight.
I bet an anaconda can hold its breath for 30 minutes. What do you think?
Probably. Here's why, man. Bobby makes this point, and this is a valid point, that they're paying these guys to clean out the Everglades of pythons. We really need to be pulling hard for these guys.
Only 10 minutes, by the way.
Because as Bobby says, the thing about this is the Everglades needs the alligators, because if the pythons destroy the Everglades, they're only going to head north. I mean, they're going to keep
looking. That is a legitimate point. Now, and how many pythons do we have in the Everglades
now? A ton. That's why they've got the bounty on them. And these guys, they're going to look for food.
Haven't we heard this thing about these feral pigs coming from Texas that they're going to like take over our land?
Yeah.
Like these guys in Texas, they can't even get them in helicopters. And, oh, man, if they don't get out there and get them, they're going to come in our yard.
That's swine flu. It's coming.
But Bobby's right. The python is not going to go without food. So if they clean out the Everglades, they're only going to start heading north. It may not be our problem, but it could be our kids' grandkids' problem.
You learn something new every day. Anacondas have 4 rows of teeth on their upper jaws. 4 rows.
Getting after it.
Yeah. That hurt.
All right, Cole. You talked to Dave Doran. Is he going to be upset at you?
I hope not. I hope he's not blaming me for their lack of production last year.
That's at noon today, right?
That's at noon, yeah. ACC week on 3-man fronts. We got NC State head coach Dave Doran. So, they have 8 guys drafted, 7 guys drafted.
That's a pretty good team. Bradley Chubb got to play. Talent,
yeah, and they got one of the better quarterbacks in college football in Ryan Finley coming back this year.
All right, so that's coming up at noon on 3-man front. Listen to the entire show 10 to 2 right here on Jocks 94.5 with Cole Kublik, Aaron Soltis, and Landrum.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
Roberts.